Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and it's a bright sunny day in Seattle, Washington. And thank you for joining us today. My work here on this show and with my clients and all of my public appearances and writings, it's all about helping all of us tap our own intuitive and healing abilities. You may not believe it, but you are naturally an intuitive and a healer. And the thing of it is, we just need to learn what that means for us individually and how to use those skills in the world. But today the show is going in a slightly different direction because I'm going to be talking about the afterlife and specifically jobs that you do when you're dead. So it's a lot of fun, but it's also very thought-provoking, and it'll give you some ideas of how I work as a medium and what that means and things that I've noticed about the afterlife. But I'm also here each week to take your phone calls. If you have questions about the afterlife or comments or your experiences you'd like to share, if you'd like a quick reading, a caution, I don't like to do mediumship readings here on the show because they tend to take longer and they're very, very private. But you're welcome to call in for quick other questions. And that number is 202-570-7057. So as we get started in each show, I like to help people get grounded and balanced in this space with me by working with the crystal Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz, a very rare crystal and a very rare type of crystal because he's an ancient healer and truth bringer. So he's currently in the shape of a crystal ball, not my idea, not his. But if you can imagine a clear quartz, Lemurian quartz is very rare, but it has lots of planes inside of it and has a faint pale yellow cast to it because of the citrine. So if you can imagine that, and imagine that it weighs about 8 pounds, so, you know, it's a good, takes up both your hands. So imagine that you're connecting with this crystal in the way that your intuition works most strongly. And we're just going to get grounded and balanced in this space, mind, body, and spirit connected more deeply. And this is your opportunity to take some time out for the day and check out your own spiritual growth. So as you take your attention to the top of your head, breathe down your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And as you do that, just feel the cares of the day flowing away from you and feel you getting more grounded and balanced in this space with us. So breathing down from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And Fallon works very fast, so you may feel a whoosh of energy going through you. That's great. So imagine this crystal outside your body rotating and then moving up outside your body, and you're welcome to just allow that healing energy from the crystal to just flood your own body. Some people experience it as a gold light, but whatever. Moving up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head. So in this hour, your crown chakra, the top of your head, will be most likely wide open in connecting with the power of this crystal and with all of the things that we talk about and do during the show. So just relax into that. We'll ground you back down into your body at the end of the show. So again, my name is Robin Fritz. I'm an intuitive and spiritual consultant and a certified past life regression specialist. I'm based in Seattle, Washington. I live on Salty Puget Sound in West Seattle, so I am very fortunate to have those salty ocean breezes part of my daily life. I wish everyone could, but you can share it with me in this hour. So if you're interested in my services, you can check out my website, robinfritz.com. That's RobinFritz.com. I offer personal and business intuition. So sometimes corporations want to look at where their products are going, what's coming down the pike. People interested in career and life choices, sometimes what their animals are up to. I also do animal communication. And of course, mediumship, the subject today, space clearing. And that's the intuitive side. On the spiritual side, past life and between life regression, soul progression clearing, which is a type of past life regression I created that takes an hour, and it just goes in and we look at anything that's blocking you, clear it out, fill you up with healthy energy, and you're off on your new and improved energetic life. Also, spiritual awakening, spiritual journeys to meet your spiritual team. I incorporate some shamanic techniques in my work, and of course, energy healing. So that's us. That's what we do. And today I want to talk about jobs to do when you're dead. So I know when you think about the afterlife, at least when I thought about the afterlife when I was a kid growing up Catholic, I thought about, you know, harps and heavenly choirs. And honestly, it wasn't very appealing to a kid. It's like harps and heavenly choirs. Like, oh my God, really? Is that it? Like, why am I striving for that? But I guess I was always kind of a rebel anyway. But that isn't what the afterlife is all about. And so today we're going to talk about my dad, Ray J. Fritz, who runs what I call a way station for dead things on the other side. And there's a reason for that, besides my sense of humor and my rebellious streak. But also because next week, March 29th, would have been my dad's, okay, are you ready, 96th birthday. And he died on June 30th, 1994. And, you know, when we're living our lives and we're going through all the daily ups and downs and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that, we're not really thinking about what we're going to do next and if we might be doing it in the afterlife. So today we're going to talk about how we play and goof off and learn things in the afterlife and what that means for us here. Now, I have to say it's very ironic that I'm a medium, and I guess irony is part of my life. But I was born and raised Catholic, as I said, and I was 9 when my older brother, Randy, died of leukemia at age 14. I was angry and bitter. I mean, we weren't prepared back in those days. They didn't have hospice. And certainly, you know, your parents just got done, you know, building a family and small town America, and losing a kid just isn't on your radar, unfortunately, like it is these days. And so we weren't prepared. We weren't told. I didn't know he was dying until after he was gone. And I was greeted with the words, "Your brother went to heaven an hour ago." And I'm like, wait, what? So, if you think I'm making fun of the Catholic Church or things in general, I kind of am, but I'm kind of not, because that 9-year-old devastated child has lived on in my life, and I've only recently realized that her experiences are part of the reasons why one of the many reasons that I did agree to work as a medium when my dad kept showing up and bugging me to. Even being angry and bitter and like, oh my gosh, why would I believe in a God that would kill a kid? I still tried really hard to be a good Catholic girl for many years because I'm like that typical repressed young child of those years, and I just fell in line until I couldn't anymore. But the interesting thing is that I really enjoy listening to other people and their discussions of the type of religious traditions that they belong in and why. And very fascinating why we choose to be part of a religious tradition, what that means, what that tradition speaks to us, says to us. All very fascinating. And while I don't find a religious tradition useful for me in particular, and there are some times where I think, well, maybe we don't need it at all. I do see people, many, many people, really thriving in a spiritual and religious tradition, and I just have to honor that because we all get through life the best that we can. And I just, like I said in the beginning of this rambling diatribe, or not diatribe, but commentary, it's ironic that I'm a medium and that after many years I started using the word spiritual because I realize the world and what's happening in the world and the universe is a lot bigger than that angry 9-year-old girl. And that even I can grow and learn something. But over the years, I just didn't believe in an afterlife, and I couldn't tell you why, in particular. I was very close to my grandmother, and she didn't believe in hell, and that was fine too. I'm not sure if she believed in heaven. I don't remember those convers that conversation with her, but I do remember conversations with people, and in particular my mother years ago, and we were talking about it, and I said I just didn't believe in the afterlife. I didn't believe there was anything there. And she said, "I feel sorry for you." And I thought, "Huh? Well, I don't know if you should feel sorry for me or for yourself, because I'm just really good at being a jerk sometimes." But I didn't really. I don't know why. And I just was fine with that for many years. And then my parents died 10 months apart. And somewhere along that line, I brought animals back into my life, and I've now had Cavalier King Charles Spaniels for almost 20 years, and a few cats here along the way, and learning by watching them, learning to grow and understand more about the world and what's happening in it. But early, the other thing that, I should qualify my statements. Or is that I have been handicapped for many years. I am healthier now than I have been in many years. In fact, I consider myself healthy, but I spent 30 years getting that way. So in all the years where most people are earning a living and, making a name for themselves professionally, I was struggling to get well. So that's definitely colored my whole impression of having a working life and everything else, being highly educated and becoming ill and disabled. And in those years, I adopted my first Cavalier in 1998. She chose Murphy Brown as her name. And I began to realize that we were suffering from the same health issues. And I was like, okay, that's just got to be done with. So I explored everything, traditional medical, Eastern medicine, supplements, chiropractic, and ended up, doing things that I considered kind of bizarre, just experimenting as the desperately ill will do, but also, looking for solutions and being very curious and open-minded, although it may not sound like it, very open-minded, very curious. Some of the things just made me cringe, but I kept looking and trying to figure out what would work for both of us. And we did eventually become well together. It took 5 years. But during that period, early on, about 2002, we were working with someone who was an animal communicator and an energy healer, and I started having regular energy healing sessions. So this was many, many years ago. And boy, my body was so depleted from the years of being ill that, I could just feel the whoosh of energy. I mean, I just sucked it up like a dry old sponge. And it was really, really interesting. What I did not know was that my dad was watching. So my dad died in 1994, June 30th, 1994, and this is about 2002. One day the phone rang and the psychic said to me, well, there's been a buzzing in my ear for the last few hours, and I finally realized it's your dad trying to talk to me. Do you want to talk to him? And I'm like stunned because I guess I missed my parents. It never occurred to me that they were doing anything. You think they're dead and gone, right? Fortunately, nowadays we don't think that because there are lots of people out there who are working as mediums, including me, and people know better. There is an afterlife. There, the soul lives on. The soul is part of us. And surprisingly, a lot of people, even Christians today, don't really believe in souls. So my dad and I had a conversation. And this is what happens in the afterlife. And we're just about ready for the break here. But this is what happens with the afterlife. And if you're lucky, your loved ones are somehow trying to get through to you. And my dad had this beautiful, really kind of cool image. He was working with his spiritual team and he wanted to talk to me. He'd been doing his life review and he wanted to talk to me about our life together. And he was looking at his team. He was watching me getting energy healing and he thought, I can't get her to hear me, but maybe this person can. So he literally picked up the phone and called the psychic. And his spiritual team was like, yeah, go ahead, pick up the phone and call. And that's what happened. We'll be back after the break.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for. That new understanding that will enhance your life and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Shopping for yourself or loved ones? Check out the best rock shop around, Earthlight Rocks and Gems in Kirkland, Washington. Whether you're looking for metaphysical support or just love nature's art, Earthlight has it all. Raw rocks, crystals, tumbled stones of all kinds, carvings, cabs, fossils, tumblers, rare minerals in all price ranges and books. They also have jewelry, including custom pieces and beads to make your own. Open 7 days a week, the Earthlight store has been around since 1988 and is run by Kim and Todd Valines. Find them online at earthlightgems.com. At Etsy at earthlightgems.etsy.com or on Facebook at Earthlight Rocks and Gems. Have a question? Email Kim at the store, earthlightgems.com. And just for Om Times listeners, receive 10% off orders over $50 at their Etsy account with coupon code earthlightgems. That's earthlightgems.etsy.com or the store at earthlightgems.com.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about jobs to do when you're dead, okay? And so here's the first job that our dead have to do. Well, first, they have to get to their afterlife, okay? Not everybody gets to the proper afterlife right away after they die. I don't want to scare you about that. I'm going to do a whole show on what I call the gray zone and how we all wake up dead and have to make some choices. And I never, ever, ever take mediumship appointments when people call me up and say, I'm worried that my loved one is stuck. I don't take appointments for that because I don't want you to be scared, and because you can help your dead yourself by doing what I tried to tell people how to do this morning in Facebook Live, which is as soon as you know someone has died, even if it's just right now today, or if it's, and people have asked me, can I go back 20 years? Yeah, because you didn't think about it 20 years ago when a favorite aunt or uncle died or someone you loved, or even my parents. Never occurred to me to do this when my parents died. Did when my animals died, but by then I was paying attention. You know, it took many years for that. So the first thing you do is say, even if they've died years ago, say, hey, beloved aunt, whatever your name is, you've died. It's okay, you've died. You can go ahead and go on. Slough off those dense earth energies connected to your body. Find the doorway to the afterlife and go when you're ready. Right? Go when you're ready, because we will be able to connect with each other even better when you're actually in your afterlife. Okay? That's all I want to talk about the gray zone today. So let's look at what happens when you get to your afterlife. Well, you go to a place like my dad runs, and I call it the way station for dead things on the other side. Okay, yeah, and you're like, okay, Robin, why are you calling it that? Well, here's the thing. The names that we use to describe what's going on in the afterlife don't have any real parallels in the afterlife. So when we use words like heaven or hell or purgatory or limbo, we're putting a religious construct on an actual thing. And that affects the energy of the place. It affects your energy in reviewing it. It affects the energy of the dead. And it totally isn't what I see in the afterlife, okay? And I can only talk about what I see and experience. So I started making up my own names for places that I saw and running them by the dead, and they were like, okay, Robin, whatever, you have a sense of humor, and we kind of like that. But I also use names that describe the functions that I see of these places in the afterlife. And so a way station for dead things is a stopping off point. It's the first place the dead go to when they go to what I call their proper afterlives, when they've sloughed off those denser earth energies and when they've made a choice to actually go to the afterlife. And they get a colored doorway that attracts them and they go through. So when I work with the dead, you know, my dad is standing in the doorway to his way station. So what the heck is that? Well, way stations are, you know, have cultural parallels, and that's why I like to call them that. Way stations are in, historically in human civilization, are stopping off places where people can rest up and resupply themselves on a journey, right? So once we left our nomadic ways and basically carried our way stations with us, we would travel from point to point, and there would be like way stations where we could hang out, you know, gradually became inns and so on, in little towns that we could supply. But even today in the mountains, you'll have like way stations, places where you can take shelter from the storm or just take a time out. And so they were things that supported people on a long journey. And as I like to say today, there are similar places for hikers and climbers in the wilderness and Motel 6 for the rest of us, right? But if you reach a way station, That's where you can safely relax, and you do. And once people get to a weigh station, and there's been some confusion about that, once they get to the weigh station, their energy is very
Stop.
light because they are now completely in the afterlife. And so those energies that are associated with being in a body, which are denser, heavier earth energies, have been sloughed off in the gray zone, and now they're in the afterlife and recuperating. And so that's what you do at a weigh station. You rest up. And so, okay, you're thinking like, where's my loved one? What kind of a weigh station are they at? And it's like wherever they want to be. They go to a weigh station, and the weigh station manager is the person who gets to decide what their weigh station looks like. So the first time I saw my dad's weigh station, I didn't know what it was at first. It took me time to figure it out. Now people call me up and they'll say, "Hey, tell your dad to get ready. I'm sending my dog or my cat or my mom's dying or whatever. Tell your dad to get ready. We're coming over." And my dad's weigh station is a log cabin in a high mountain meadow. Big grassy meadow, lots of fir trees around. I grew up in Oregon, so I'm particularly fond of Douglas fir trees. So you can imagine that in the high mountains, right? And it's where you go. And I never get to see the inside of the cabin because as soon as people go off into the afterlife and go to my dad's weigh station, from the gray zone or from immediately from dying, they go in the cabin and shut the door in my face. And it's like, come on, I'd really like to see what's going on in that cabin. But what my dad tells me is they go in and they lay down and they sleep because it's really exhausting. The process of leaving your body is exhausting. It's the breakdown of the elements, earth, air, fire, water, spirit, right? The stages of dying, going through all of those transitions, and finally making to the afterlife. It's on a really, really long and most important journey of the life of that body, and you're just tired. So you get to go rest up. And it has nothing to do with an illness that you had or an injury or anything else. So don't worry that you didn't give your loved ones proper care. I had a beautiful woman concerned that she hadn't taken care of her dog properly because I told her dog was resting up. The dog had a heart issue. No, it wasn't his care. His care was excellent. It's just the sloughing off of those energies, and it's a process that's tiring. And they still act like they have bodies in the afterlife. And those of us who see them see their bodies, or how they choose for their bodies to look. And we can get into that too. So then they spend their time at the weigh station and they rest up and they nap and they get to visit with the weigh station manager. Okay. Now, other weigh stations look different. Some are homes in big cities, some are just high up in the mountains in the wilderness. Others are for, wild animals, and they can be like wild nature. Other weigh stations, the weigh station managers are particularly fond of children, so there's a lot of young children in them. So they vary. So when I tell people about this concept, I think, well, if you have a beloved human or animal, imagine, the concierge at their weigh station pampering them. Imagine what it might look like, and you may find out. If you talk to them through another medium or through me, or when you die and go yourself, you may find out what their weigh station looked like. But how do you get to your weigh station? You see a colored doorway in that gray zone, and one of those colors, like the 40th blue door, really appeals to you, and you just know that that's where you should go, and you do eventually go there, and you just end up at a cool weigh station, and that's it. So I'm not thinking about where I'm going because I'm hoping my dad's still running his weigh station and I get to go there and stay there. I've been there when I was really sick and actually died and then came back to life again from the flu, about 7 or 8 years ago. So I was there briefly and then back again. But so think of your loved ones as resting up at a weigh station for dead things on the other side. And so, then what do they get to do next? Well, they'll sit and they'll visit with the weigh station manager. And I always think it's, you know, kind of funny because, you know, those of us who are here and having these experiences intuitively or spiritually, whatever they are, having connections with non-humans like our animal families, right? We know they can talk to us. We know that we're sharing things with them, even though we might not be as good at talking with them as they are with us. But over there in the afterlife, they're like chatty all the time talking. So people show up in the afterlife and they're looking around and like, oh my God, that dog is talking to me. You know, it just must be hilarious to be a way station manager and watch people talking to animals, or like animals going up to him and him, hey, you know, want a cigarette or something. I don't know. I'm sure they don't have cigarettes in the afterlife, but you know, maybe chocolate, right? But wild animals, in my dad's case, because I work multidimensionally with non-humans, he's welcomed aliens and beings that we call Sasquatch and all kinds of things. And sometimes it's very funny when the dead come to talk with me and my clients. My dad brings them to his way station and they look around and they're like, well, what kind of a place is this? And my dad's like, don't blame this on me. This is all my daughter. You know, I didn't know any of this stuff existed either till I started working with her. And I'm like, I didn't know they existed either, you know, until recently. So what else do they do? Well, they sit and visit with the manager. They meet other people from different time periods. I mean, because you can hang out at the way station for a long time, or you'll go to a way station to visit, you do during a mediumship sessions with your living loved ones, or you come to greet the dead who've ended up at that way station, you know. So there's family reunions that happen briefly. But for the most part, the people who are at the way stations are recuperating. This is their timeout period to really just relax in the afterlife and get adjusted. And they do have jobs to do there. I mean, little things like when my dog Murphy died, she would come back and tell me, one of the first things she said was how grateful she was that I made her comfortable, that I made sure she wasn't handicapped. Now, remember at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that Murphy and I had a lot of illnesses, a lot of them that looked alike. We realized, and I didn't say this, but we realized that we'd spent many lifetimes together trying to resolve these same issues. And so whenever one of us would get discouraged, the other one would say, hey, this is the safest time that we've ever had together. Let's get rid of this crap and just leave it behind. And so that's what I did, was to make sure she wasn't handicapped, made sure that her physical issues were as resolved as we could be. And so she thanked me for that, which was very moving. But she also was a little plotter. So she looked around my dad's way station and said, okay, you know what? Robin taught me how to be comfortable in my body, and I'm going to teach Grandpa how to be comfortable at the way station. And she called him, Dad, no, Ray, no, Grandpa. And so my dad's like, okay, I'm a grandpa to a dog, fine. And they would grow asparagus, you know, and it just like, they don't even need growing seasons over there, because that's awesome, right? She had pillows in the meadow, you know, lots of sunspots and soft grass. So imagine your relatives or your animals, your deceased loved ones at a way station, resting up, sleeping in the sun, visiting, basically having a really good time. And that goes to my dad's first statement. I asked him, what's the number one thing you want people to know about the afterlife? And Dad laughed and said, it's a constant party. There you go, people. The afterlife is a party. So what do they do next? So at a certain point, they're ready to move on to the afterlife, deeper into the afterlife, so to speak. So their spiritual team or their spirit guides, whatever you want to call them, will come for them and take them off to a different place in the afterlife where they do their life reviews. And I'm sure you've heard the term life review and you know what it is, but just in case, a life review is your opportunity to look at the life you just lived and what you were planning to do when you came into that life, what you did do, what worked, what didn't work, and why. And then, you know, place it in context, in the context of your previous lifetimes. What did you learn there? How did it continue or not continue? What are you interested in exploring next? Okay, and this is where the whole idea of karma got all screwed up, and people think of karma as, I don't even like to use the word karma. I'm using it to describe what doesn't exist. There is no such thing as karma that punishes you or that you have to make up for previous things that you did wrong. That's just crazy stuff. It's not true. What is true is that you get to see what worked and what didn't work, and humans are particularly not adept at remembering what we chose to do in this lifetime. But did we make the most of our life? Did we do things that helped us grow our souls? And this is what I talk about in all my work. You're growing your soul through all of your experiences. How did despair sit with you? How did fear and anger and love and compassion and all of those things play into your life? And I'll be interested to look at my life and all those years that I spent handicapped. Like, what the crap was that all about, right? Who wants that kind of thing to happen? Nobody. But you're looking at this in your life review, and you can go in and out of your life review. I've had some deceased people tell me they're just enjoying the experience. Married couples are doing their own life review, and then they come together and chat about it, and then they go check on their families, and then they come back and do some more life review. So it's not something that's like a cut and dried, this is the thing you do for the next 8 years kind of thing. It's, you know, at your own pace kind of thing. It's an opportunity for you to learn and grow and explore more, and you're learning from the afterlife where you really do remember things. And for some people, that's harder than others, because some people aren't always willing to learn from what they did in their lives, good and bad, and those people are off doing something else. And we're almost at the break. But the next thing is that people then get to decide what they're going to do next. You know, what's the next thing that they want to explore? And so we'll talk about that briefly when we come back.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14.
31? I mean 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're live here in Seattle, Washington, on a sunny Monday afternoon, the last day of winter in the Northern Hemisphere. And most of us are going, thank goodness. Somehow it seemed like a really long winter. So we were talking about the jobs that you do in the afterlife. And I was talking about people, souls doing their life review, and that this is where the misunderstanding of karma came up. You know, we live our lives the best that we can, or maybe not in some cases. You can't really judge somebody else because you really don't know what's going on in there. But boy, we sometimes have really strong opinions about other people's lives, including our own. But when you're looking at it in the afterlife and you're really willing to do a life review, that's where things really start changing for you in the afterlife. So imagine your loved ones doing a life review. And yes, your animals do one too, because they're souls, right? They've just taken an animal body to use to do that job in that they decided to do for that lifetime. It's the only difference between human and animals, or anything else for that matter, is the body that they took to do the job that they chose for that lifetime. So while your loved ones are reviewing their lives, they may and do very well come chat with you and spend some time with you, and they go back and learn more things, and they understand in a deeper soul sense, you know, how things went in that lifetime, and they think about it and they think, well, I'd like to learn more about this, or I'd like to learn more about that thing. Well, how would I do that again if I, you know, well, I think maybe I should try another human lifetime and see if I can handle this, okay, whatever this is. And understand we're always growing our souls. And so the number one thing that we always need to do is to learn to love ourselves. So in one fashion or another, every soul choice then must come down to, what do I need to do next to love myself even more, to grow my soul even more? And they may choose to come back as human, or they may choose to come back as an animal, or as a tree, or as a hurricane, or as a volcano, or in a different dimension on a different planet. Because the opportunities and the possibilities are just huge. There's just so many things they can do. And this is why you can do a past life regression and remember previous lifetimes, and even do between life regressions and understand why you chose that life, or even look at the life you came into right now. Is why did you choose this particular life? Why did you choose your particular parents? And you'll find out that, oh, maybe I was thinking of maybe I could help them, or maybe you just goofed up, you know, because, hey, it's all a process of learning, right? It's all a process of learning and growing. So they may decide to go ahead and try another life or whatever. They'll go on vacation. I call them afterlife vacations. So they may go and visit places on the planet that they visited and liked or never got to visit before. So imagine seeing Paris from the afterlife. I know a family in particular, a good friend, who they all loved Hawaii so much, and they're still there hanging out in Hawaii in the afterlife. They travel to different dimensions, different planets, and now you know with the Hubble telescope that we can't even begin to count the number of billions of planets there are out there. So, you know, you could really spend a long time, as in the rest of your afterlife, which is unending, right, exploring the afterlife. But people do come back, and I'll tell you about my parents just briefly here because we're getting towards the end of the hour. My mom just realized that she didn't love herself enough, and she really had a problem with the self-love. And until she was actually my first client, my dad and my first client together, we talked with her about, you know, why she didn't love herself and how she could. And that's when she took on a new appearance. So here's the thing. If you see your loved ones, or you have a medium who can see your loved ones, or you talk to them or whatever, once they have acquired this idea of what they're going to do next, or where they've decided they can grow and learn in the afterlife, their appearance changes. So my dad died at 72, and he was horribly, horribly crippled up and just wasted away. He looked like 97, now looks like a 40-some-year-old guy, because he healed up his issues, and that's the choice that he made. My mom, when I first saw her in the afterlife, was still looking, you know, she died younger at only 68, but she just didn't look any different. And after my dad and I talked to her about loving herself and being okay to go explore that issue, she started her life review. She went to do her life review, and then she got younger. So, you know, when people are out exploring the afterlife, they get to pick the age that they want to be at. So a lot of them will reverse age, like my parents did. And some, like children, will decide to grow up to match loved ones on the other side, so cousins or brothers and sisters. So lots of opportunities out there for them to do whatever they want. But, you know, my dad chose to run a way station, and I just want to leave you with this idea today. I'm going to talk about some other things that are coming up here for the show. But, you know, my dad came to me and he asked me to become a medium. And I'm like, what the heck do I want to be a medium for? Because all I knew about mediums was that, you know, they played, you know, the ID game, you know, what they were wearing, what their favorite song was, what their name was, all that kind of stuff. Come on. You know what they were like when they were alive. Why do you care about that stuff? Why do I need to prove to you that I'm actually talking to them? Go to a medium because you trust that you're going to have an experience, and then have a conversation with a loved one that actually gets you both somewhere. And when I realized I could do that with my dad, that's when I became interested in being a medium, because I can see such tremendous healing on both the living and the dead, on both sides. Being able to, you know, say goodbye again, being able to say, I don't know, did I do the right thing in handling your estate? All of those kinds of things, just sometimes simple things, or hearing the parents talk about other people in their family and what they understood about their souls and what they understood about their own souls. It's just tremendously moving. It is such a healing thing, and that's why I became a medium. Also because my dad wouldn't quit bugging me to help what he called, what I ended up calling, the stuck dead. These are the dead who haven't made it to the afterlife. And here, let me just read to you a little short transcript of a conversation that I had with my dad, and this was back in 2012. And I finally figured out that he was running a way station. That was a job that he chose to do next in the afterlife. My mom chose to be reincarnated. She chose to come back as a human girl, child then, and she's growing up now. She wanted to experience love from self-love and to get away from her lack of self-love that she had in this lifetime and to really let herself break down and experience that love. So she chose a new life. My dad chose to run a way station for dead things on the other side. And I'm like, why did you decide to do that? Okay, so listen to this. And think about your loved ones. What are they deciding to do? Why are they deciding to do that? Because there's lots of people out there running way stations or doing other backup types of way stations that are working with people once they've moved on and haven't reincarnated yet and are thinking about reincarnating or whatever. So I said to my dad, how did you come to run a way station? And he said, quite by accident. I didn't really want to die to go. So I hung out. And all these people were walking past. Okay, so this is my dad talking about where you wake up dead, the gray zone, where everybody wakes up dead. He goes, I started asking them where they were going and who was taking them there. Some were very distressed, so I wanted to help out somehow. I didn't know that who I was really helping or who wanted help was me, but I wanted to help them, so I followed them. And I could see it all, and other spirits other people couldn't see. They were blind in that place, but I had binoculars on. I could see everything. Amazing, right? Here's a guy who's died, and he's looking around, and he's seeing everything. All these things, all these connections. And I'm like, oh, everything, what are you seeing? What do you mean, everything what, Dad? He said, all the people who were walking, okay, walking in the gray zone, where they were going, the people who were trying to help them, the people they had left on Earth, the energy of people reaching up for them and trying to help them. So that's how it started. And I just decided I wanted to be helpful, and people obviously needed help sometimes. That's how I've begun to do that. I don't know how much longer I will do it, but I will do it. And I am excited for the moment that we are able to see each other in this plane. And I'm like, wow, pretty cool. Daniel goes, yep. But amazing, right? You know, the things that we can decide to do next in the afterlife can hit us really quickly. For my dad, before he even got to what I call his proper afterlife. And once he finished his life review and he came to me back in 2002, what did he want? He wanted to apologize to me. He wanted to say that, because we had had many lifetimes together as father and daughter, and he wanted to say that he realized now that he didn't treat me properly as a daughter because of the cultural thing about, you know, women not being as good as men, and, you know, women are inferior to men, and that thing that we're still struggling with in all of our cultures here on the planet for women these days, that finally there people are starting to make some changes about that. He wanted to apologize, and he said if he ever had the opportunity to be my dad again, he wouldn't do that again. He would be different. We would be partners. So little did we know that that chance would come soon, because when he came to ask me to be a medium, we became partners, and we're equals now in our work. He does his thing, I do my thing, and together we do our thing. And I feel very fortunate and blessed. And I have plenty of clients who say, I wish I could work with my dad like that. Well, you know, maybe you can at some point. I don't know. It's just how it worked out for us. But here's the thing I want you to take away for today. There are many, many things that our loved ones are doing in the afterlife. They are choosing what they're going to do next. That's the big thing. So my mom reincarnated. My dad did not. Other people, they're doing things. I had a man tell us, his daughter, that he came back as a cat, and he wanted to experience wildlife, but he lived in New York City, so the wildest thing he could think of was a feral cat in the city. You know, you'd think a tiger or something like that, but had no experience of that. And he's looking at her and thinking, wow. And he's looking at me and my dad, and he's going, well, I could have helped her like you're helping your daughter. Instead, I came back as a cat. And my dad's like, what's wrong with being a cat? And that's the whole point. What they choose next, you know, they could be choosing because they're having fun, or they're curious about a different way of living, or whatever. It's not our place to make assumptions about what they're going to do next. But it is a great conversation to have with your dad. And you can have that conversation on your own. You can also, you know, contact someone like me as a medium to help you have that conversation with them, because we're the independent outsiders and we're just giving you the information that comes through for us to give to you. But the thing of it is, they're out there doing things in the afterlife. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about your loved ones in the afterlife, and I want you to say to them, hey, you know, just like I did in Facebook Live this morning, you've died. I miss you. I love you. Goodbye. It's okay to move on. Go ahead and move on. Go to your proper afterlife. We'll connect better once you do that. And know that while they're not with us, because that isn't proper, it isn't appropriate, they've got things to do and we've got things to do. We're off learning our own things. But they do come back to visit, and they'll come back and chat with you whenever you want. I have an upcoming webinar where we're going to do a half an hour connection with our dead. I'm going to be putting that up at the experts platform at ohmtimes.com. Join us there. Join me next week. My radio sponsor, Kim Valines of Earthlight Rocks and Gems, will be talking about crystals for spring. Yep, spring is here in another day, not quite a full day. I guess like 9:30 in the morning, Seattle time, something like that. Join us, and email me if you have comments, if you have questions, if you have a reading you'd like me to do for you, but you're too shy to come on the radio, that's fine. Just email me at robin@robinfritz.com. That's robinfritz.com. You can also find me on Facebook at The Practical Intuitive. Every Monday at 11 Pacific time, you can find me at the Ohm Times Institute page for Facebook Live. And then again at noon at my page, The Practical Intuitive, Robin M. Fritz, for a quick Facebook Live, what I call an intuitive moment. But for now and for next week, send your loved ones love. Tell them you love them. You know they love you. And wish them well on their new journey. The afterlife is amazing. Hands on your heart. Breathe into the palms of your hands. Imagine that healing energy going into your palms. Breathe into your palms. Feel that air of your breath on your palms. Hold your palms out and let that energy go where it will. It's sentient. I need to talk about that for a whole show. Now cross your palms on your heart again. Breathe into your palms. Feel that energy going in. Feeling yourself getting grounded and balanced back into your body. That crown chakra closing down from connection with Fallon and connection with others in this hour. And as you breathe into your palms, feel that your breath on your palms. Breathe back in and pull it back into your heart and just breathe that in. Get healthy and balanced. Be grounded. Let me know how I can serve you. You can contact me for my services at my website. Thank you for joining us today. Take care and goodbye.